Today, the U.S. Civil Rights Commission said that while there is no national conspiracy to burn African-American churches, the fires are evidence of an increase in segregation and racial hatred. The commission estimated that 20% of the arsons that took place over the past 2 years appeared to have been racially motivated. A federal coordinated effort has made progress in solving some of the crimes. But as NPR's Debbie Elliott reports, suspicious church fires and the investigations into them are continuing.
You probably didn't hear much about it, but last month, churches burned in Pollard, Arkansas, Noxubee County, Mississippi, Hi Hat, Kentucky, and Dallas, Texas. The problem of church fires is not over, according to Deval Patrick, Assistant Attorney General in charge of the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division.
Churches are still burning. The rate of the fires is off a little bit since the beginning of June. We have meanwhile made considerable progress in arrests.
Patrick says since June, the church arson arrest rate has quadrupled. More than 200 federal agents are investigating the fires, the Justice Department's largest ongoing civil rights investigation. According to the National Church Arson Task Force, federal agents have investigated 230 church arsons or bombings nationwide since January of 1995. Arrests have been made in 100 of those cases. It's too soon to generalize any pattern from the arrests, says Patrick, but the evidence suggests hate is a recurring motive.
Racial or religious intolerance is behind well over the majority of these fires. I think we're also seeing an alarming number of young people involved in the fires. Somewhere around 40% of the arrests have been of people who were juveniles.
Federal agents are investigating fires across the country at black and white churches, mosques, synagogues, and other houses of worship. But what mobilized the task force was an alarming increase in the number of suspicious fires at predominantly African-American churches, particularly in the South, since January of 1995. Authorities are investigating 81 incidents at black Southern churches. Those fires raised fears of a national racist conspiracy to burn black churches and reminded many of the violence during the civil rights movement. But Patrick says that hasn't proven to be the case.
There have been arrests and confessions of conspiracies in South Carolina and in Tennessee, and we're exploring evidence of other kinds of criminal conspiracies as well. What we have not seen is evidence that links all of the fires across the region or across the country.
The absence of a general conspiracy makes the fires even more frightening. The perpetrators could be anybody. They could be anywhere.
Mary Frances Berry chairs the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, which has been holding community forums in states where numerous churches were burned. She says the fires are the symptom of a climate of racial tension.
Out of national sight and out of national mind, racial segregation still exists in schools and other public facilities in forms reminiscent of Jim Crow days before segregation was outlawed.
But even in a tense racial climate, authorities need evidence to prove racial motivation. Proving arson is hard because much of the evidence is destroyed in the fire. Identifying motives can be even harder, says Jim Cavanaugh, special agent in charge of the Birmingham region of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
We continue to pursue the racial aspect of the burnings aggressively, but in many cases it's other things have cropped up.
The arson investigations have not uncovered any clear pattern among suspects, says Cavanaugh, but rather a variety of motives for burning churches.
It goes everywhere from people who committed the arson to cover a burglary, to racial hatred, to psychopaths or serial fire setters or satanic worshipers, or just a whole different cornucopia of people that do these things. It's somewhat disturbing that there's that many people that would burn a church, but it's just the way it is.
Evidence of an organized effort to set churches ablaze has only surfaced in a couple of cases. In South Carolina, for example, two former Klansmen pleaded guilty to burning African-American churches in Greeleyville and Bloomville in June of 1995, and two Klan leaders have been indicted on federal conspiracy charges there. Angie Lowry has been tracking church arsons for the Southern Poverty Law Center in Montgomery, Alabama.
It is a textbook example of what I think so many people feared when we first began to look at these fires. The Klan apparently talks about burning churches. A particular Klan group talks about it, and some of their members go out and actually do it.
The center has filed a civil suit against the South Carolina Klan group, seeking monetary damages on behalf of the burned churches. But in most cases, Lowry says, there's no evidence to suggest a racist conspiracy to burn black churches. Instead, racial hatred surfaces as a motive in more subtle ways.
Someone was angry because there was a black church in their neighborhood. Some white kid was angry because he had a beef with a black kid who went to that church, and he saw that that would be maybe a way to strike back. So it expresses itself in different ways as an underlying motive in some of these fires.
Meanwhile, burned-out churches across the region are rebuilding, trying to show that fire can't destroy the spirit of the church. In some communities, white and black neighbors join together to rebuild churches and address racial tensions. But in others, like Greene County, Alabama, few local whites were involved as groups from outside the state, including Mennonites and Quakers, came to rebuild churches, like the Mount Zion Baptist Church in Bologie. Mount Zion is one of three black churches destroyed by fire in a three-week period in rural West Alabama. Police have made no arrest in the burnings, but authorities do consider the fires suspicious and a possible indicator of organized activity because several churches in the same area were burned around the same time. But the Reverend Levi Pickens says members of his congregation won't conjecture about why someone burned their church.
I reckon most of them, like I am, they don't want to speculate because, you know, you can say one thing and it could be another way around.
Mount Zion has rebuilt and started having Sunday services again last month. Reverend Pickett says the congregation is trying to move past the fire that destroyed their old building.
We got a little shook up about it, but we didn't, you know, show no bad side toward it. In a word, we are willing to forgive whoever did it.
The rebuilding effort is getting help from the National Council of Churches through its Burned Churches Fund. Supported by a host of religious and charitable organizations, businesses, and prominent foundations, the fund goes beyond rebuilding and encourages racial healing in affected communities. The Ford Foundation's Mary McClymont.
In those communities where there has been breakdown or racial discord or problems that have led to these burnings, they also think it's critically important to not only get dialogue going, but try to develop some local community programs that will help bring the community together and understand better some of the differences that may have caused the burnings.
To date, the Burned Churches Fund has raised more than $3 million in cash and more than that in materials like construction wood, Bibles, and church pews. The fund will host an anti-racism conference later this month in Columbia, South Carolina. The U.S. Civil Rights Commission is encouraging political leaders to start similar dialogues in their states to diffuse the racial tensions that may contribute to church burnings. This is Debbie Elliott reporting.